If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
Give me two.
Oh, yeah, wow. You are orange.
I don't know what's going on with this thing. Yeah, that's weird.
Oh, shit.
Well, good evening, everybody. Allow me to do the intro while Mike sorts out his life. I don't know what he just knocked over, but welcome to the Prospects Power Half Hour.
Fuck.
This is, of course, Palazzo Podcast, 2 L's, 2 Z's. My dogs are barking up above, and I guess that's going to be okay. Mike will return at some point. But tonight, what we're going to cover is the first 39 picks of the draft, which we've gone through twice in theory. Now we're going to go through what actually happened. And when we do that, we're going through for the fantasy GM out there. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, it's all fun and games to say this guy looks like he can make it and this guy can do that and such and such. But we are going to make picks this offseason or in some leagues later on this year with the future of these guys in mind for fantasy lineups. And we want to know, is it a valuable pick or am I wasting it? I don't know if we've got the plugins from Big Gentle Ben, who's off on family vacation, coming in or not. I love the cues of Mike's, what do you say? His upsetness. I'm sure he can hear me.
So stupid. Yeah,
it's okay. It's a breathe. Deep breaths. Is everything all right?
Why does this look this way? What the fuck is going on? This makes no
sense.
Family show,
you know?
This is not a family show. Never
has been.
I can't
let my kid listen to
it. I don't get what... Damn it. I know.
Are you going to try the reset?
Anyways,
when I used to...
No, I'm just...
when I used to do it on Zoom, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, my screen would just disappear, and then I would just be blank as you are right now. And I would have to exit and come back in, and it magically fixed itself. So I don't know if you need to exit and come back in, because on StreamYard, I don't remember that being as big an issue. But just, you know, Back from the dinger days.
Well, the world's a complicated place.
Are you
place.
Not going to be
it is,
visible?
It's a complicated world.
Are you,
you know?
Are you that? You don't want to be orange?
I don't give a shit what it looks okay. like. I just want it to be yeah. normal. Well, I can't upload this video clip from bed now either. What the
know.
Fuck is going
okay.
on?
Well, I'm sorry that this is happening to you. I'm sure it'll be good. For everybody out there who has not yet, but you are in here right now, join us at Palazzo Podcast on the YouTubes. Probably not on MySpace anymore, but you can find us at other platforms. I can look at the chat right now, but I'm not going to try to press buttons and do technology. But I will start the show because we're now at minute 8. So I'm going to cue in our intro here. Mike and I met on Saturday. We went to the Tigers game, and I'm sure he'll want to recap that when he comes back on and isn't orange. But before that, I went to Beloit, Wisconsin, which is on the border. Like you take a right out of the stadium and then you just let your car coast and you're all of a sudden in Illinois. It's right there on the border of those two great states. And I got to watch the Beloit Sky Carp. You see the logo here, Goose. So, I mean, I had to go see a team with a Canadian, national treasure on it. And I was in Wisconsin. So, there you go. Britton, I had to go get some more of that hams. Sweet, sweet liquor. The beer, refreshing. That's what it says. Not a sponsor yet. Delicious. So, on that trip, at that game, I got to say to anybody that's in and around minor league parks, I'm not in Canada. My closest minor league park is Buffalo. I've been to games in Buffalo. It's fine, but it's not what Beloit was. It's not small town minor league baseball. I love the experience. I got there 2+ hours before the game just because of my trip down from Iola, Wisconsin. And I got there early and I parked and I tailgated, which basically was just me drinking in a parking lot adjacent to the police station. And then on this side was the stadium. So I just sat there by a pine tree and quietly sipped on a beer. And I had a burrito that I made 2 days earlier and packed in ice. It was fine. But I went up to the stadium. I got my ticket. I said, hey, can you just put me in the shade? Because it's hot and I'm burnt. And for $19, I got front row seats to watch the Twins starting pitcher. So Cedar Rapids Colonels. I think it was Dasan Brown, Damian Brown, something like that. I'll have that information for us next week. He got ripped. 5 earned runs on 6 hits in a third of an inning. And then the next guy came in who had trouble adapting because he was also a starter and was not supposed to be starting that night. But cooler than that, guys, when I got to the stadium, I went inside and I was greeted on either side for this giveaway night. They had a Tilly hat. Again, I'll have that for us for next week. And it was given to me by pitchers who weren't pitching that night, starting pitchers. So who did I see? I saw Miami's second round pick last year, and I think it was their 8th round pick. And I was wearing one of my fantasy baseball custom-made t-shirts, shout out Vistaprint.ca. And I got that shirt in 2017, I think, and I wore it to my fantasy league draft. And it's got a picture of Ohtani before he signed. So it's in his Japan jersey. And it said, prospects are awesome, Ohtani in 18 and all this stuff. So anyway, I wore that and one of the pitchers was like, that's a cool shirt. And I was like, thank you. And then I thought, I don't think that guy's wearing like a jersey for fun. I think he's a player. And sure enough, he was. So I went back over and I had a quick little chat with him, which again, we'll talk about that next week. And it was excellent. Loved the conversation. Talking minor league baseball with pitchers, with actual pitchers right before the game started. And Beloit absolutely crushed Cedar Rapids, as you can expect. There's a free agent. Signed as a free agent with Beloit right now. He's old for his age, but he's just murdering baseballs. And he had a great game. The whole lineup looked really good. It was all a fun experience. And Gauvier has returned.
Okay, so there's a lot of things going on here.
Talked about my trip, but
you already did.
Just kissed on us meeting. Just kissed on that.
Look, first off, StreamYard has a notice saying that there's a major disruption. So we can't upload Ben's video clip.
Okay.
That's why. There was a reason why that was happening. And it also, I was wearing a shirt. I was wearing a work that was teal. And apparently it messed with the green because you couldn't see my shirt. So therefore I looked orange. Now I changed my shirt. It looks normal like it should. So those two things are solved. Thirdly, We can't stream. Oh, wait. Now we are streaming live. What the hell? When I started this, we couldn't stream on Mike Virginia and Benjamin. Those of you watching on Twitter X, on Mike Virginia or Benjamin Chase's Twitter X account, it says we can't do that anymore because they need to be premium. But now it's doing it on Mike's. I think Mike has a premium account, so that's fixed. But Ben might not have premium. So for some reason, they just changed the rules over there at Twitter X suddenly. So now we can't stream on Ben's channel. This is like his show. That's bogus. We'll have to pay for that, I guess, out of the show's deep, deep coffers.
Wow, right? Dude.
Sure. Real deep. Real deep coffers.
Anyways, yeah, me and Robbie, we watched one of the greatest games I've ever seen live in the end. Maybe the best ending. Maybe not the overall game. Oh,
it was super exciting finish to that game, but we thought it was over by the fourth inning.
Fifth inning, yeah.
Fifth inning was when Roblosky was done. We couldn't go through the lineup a third time. But he sailed
Montero
through.
Too.
Yeah. He sailed through the first two times, and it was looking like, oh wow, this guy is much better than the minor league stats. And then he was like, no, I'm not. but more importantly, other than the 5-run comeback and the win in extra innings and Gio Urshela,
this was true though too. That was 200, though. I didn't know that when we saw that. That was number 200 there we go. For
and
Shohei.
I got his triple. I filmed it and posted it on the Twitter X. And nice. It had been watched over 22,000 times as of the last time I looked, which was like last night. I couldn't believe it. Like it had been reposted 30-something times and liked, you know, 250-plus. Wow. And like it was just a crappy clip that I got with my phone. But, I mean, right. It was like, you know, the MVP at it again, but it was great. I was happy to have that. I hope some of that traction comes this way and then they subscribe.
So what's the lesson here, though, from that for you? What have you learned from that, knowing that?
I should have filmed a whole lot more of my minor league game. That's what I learned, other than just Kevin Maiton coming up, is that if you go to a game, it's okay for you to record live and capture some of that action because you never know what could – positive traction could come from that. I mean, it was Ohtani, so everybody's watching him anyway, but
you're partially correct. That part of it is true, but it's also it's Ohtani, so Ohtani's gold.
And then we missed the best part of that entire series, which was that newly acquired Brent Honeywell for the Dodgers, everybody started.
Oh man, what
Sunday.
A bummer.
And he did well, and now go look at his stat line, everyone. He got put in a bad spot in Pittsburgh, so I missed him by one day in Pittsburgh. I also missed Paul Skeens pitching by one day, or sorry, in Milwaukee when the Pirates were there. And then he got DFA'd, and then he starts a couple days later. It was perfect, because now he gets to go into the All-Star break and then come back, hopefully, in the bullpen, not in like a we're going to DFA you after your next three-inning outing. Hopefully, Honeywell can settle in. So,
Jamie's pissed. Why are we streaming during the Home Run Derby? Who watches the Home Run Derby? Come on, what do you do?
It's not the most
7 years
exciting.
Old?
No, I don't know. It's back. You know, just like that killed it for me. Watching that,
come
that was
on.
Long ago killed it. They also talk about the curse, right? The Home Run curse, the Home Run Derby curse.
Father Jeff. I don't watch the Home Run Derby.
No, I don't know the last time I did. I mean, my kid might be really interested in a year or two, and we can go back to it there. So,
well, that's different. You have a child. That's an opportunity to have a bonding experience, but you know, for anybody else, if you're not a kid and you like the Home Run Derby, I don't want to ruin your time. Who am I to stop the good times from flowing? But I don't know. That's not for me. It looks like I may have found a workaround here, so we will show Ben's video. But yes, we had a great time. We saw this epic comeback after we took a 2-inning break because it was so damn hot. Oof, we were in these blazing murder heat seats.
I'm so glad I wore the ugly Tilly hat. You know, like
paid off.
It saved me. I, you know, I'm aware that it's an ugly hat, but it was just like the relief I had from not being so hot on my head from wearing like the trucker style caps. And then, of course, Govia, you had got me a gift. Thank you very much. I'll put it on now, just so everybody can see. So this,
oh my God, dude.
This was just a little hat I picked up. As a joke for a family member, and my wife said, no, do not give it to that family member.
Yeah, this is a bad timing in your part. Cause when I got home after our game, I had a terrible run-in online that like ruined my night. I'm not going to even talk about it because I don't want that guy to come back and kill me or freak out on me again. So let me just say, we were in I don't go to a lot of baseball games. So it was like a big day that we drove out to Comerica Park, got to meet Robbie for the first time. We hung out, me, him, and Leanne. We watched the whole game. We stayed through the whole thing. When Gio Urshela walked it off with a meaningless home run.
We were there.
The 10th inning, which was so cool. It was still unbelievable that when Colt Keith swung at the first pitch. So, like, we didn't even get a chance to say, like, wow, is Colt Keith going to tie this game up?
Didn't even realize it was him, quite frankly. I thought he was on deck.
I frankly, I didn't know he was. I told Robbie, I'm like, I thought Carson Kelly was 33. God, I was a rare mistake on my part. But that was awesome. That was so awesome to see. It was very cool. And then we left, and then, like, some real stuff happened in the world that we're not going to talk about in here. So, I mean, this is an escape for everybody.
Yeah,
so.
I got home and it was hours later that I was looking on YouTube and stuff, and I was like, "What's this with the news?" And I'm like, "Oh, okay."
Well, Chad knows my life quite well. Chad's up to date on everything. So,
Chad, you are right. So, anyway, what we will talk about tonight are thoughts on the draft in a flash, as I mentioned before, with a fantasy twist on it. So, Mike, I don't know if you want to go. Do you want to go back and forth, and we'll do it? I got notes on everybody, but whatever you want to say on it, we'll do. We'll just have that conversation. If not, we'll just keep rolling because we got lots of guys to do. And I know you get to move to Canada tomorrow, so I want to give you every opportunity to pack up more of those ugly ass shirts you're wearing and bring them north.
Yeah, I don't know if we're actually going to get Ben's video. It looks like those processing issues on the video side here are a problem. Ben did make the effort. Please know that. Maybe I'll post it on YouTube so you guys can at least see it afterwards. So, yes, take it away, my friend. And everybody in live chat, thanks for being here. And if you want to jump in along the way with a quick comment, we will throw it out there. Just like Eddie said, I want to know if there's a Skeens or Langford in this year's draft. Govea got too much sun today. Yeah, it looked orange. That's right. That was a few minutes ago. So,
okay. So
there is no Skeens. Let's just end that now, right? Can we just say that now?
The potential was there, of course, but the park that the number two pick went to changed that in a minute. But first off, we'll
Chase
start
Burns,
off,
who you had number one in your mock. Yes.
Yeah, I thought Burns to Cleveland would have been just so much fun. But one of the things that Cleveland doesn't like to do is spend a lot of money on pitchers, and they've proven that over decades. So Bezzana, one, I think it's fine for fantasy. I don't think the ceiling's perennial all-star from second base, but Cleveland has a future second baseman. So, cool. Like, yeah, he's a top five fantasy pick. I'm not over the moon on this. I wanted Burns. That's why I picked him in our mock. I thought that was the best thing for fantasy. Moving to number two with Cincinnati.
I will say, just I won't do the deep detail, but Cleveland has a deep bench of middle infielders through their system. I'm just saying. Right now, they have a clog. Angel Martinez showing up now looking good. So, I'm just saying that. I thought it was a surprise that they go that route. But I guess if a guy's great, if you think a guy's great, then you're going to draft him no matter what position it is.
Yeah, that's what they always say in baseball. And in other sports, it's far more position-based drafting. Whereas in baseball, it's the one sport where you tend to just take the guy that fits. But baseball is also the one sport where you can't trade the picks. And it's the one sport where there's so much behind the curtain action going on where they won't take the guy because they know they can't sign him, or they know that's more than they want to spend and all that stuff. And it honestly, to me, gets in the way. But that's how you end up with Bezzana 1, Burns 2, going to Cincinnati. This is Chase Burns. I like it because I didn't want him to go to Colorado. So that's the best part of him going there. Cincinnati is not a good pitching park, but you can have a good pitcher do well in Cincinnati, and Burns should. Now, you know, Lodolo's had health issues and other things, and other pitchers have done the same thing too. But Cincinnati does need some rotation anchors, and picking Burns at two is kind of a gift for a team that is doing well to be able to pick somebody up with his skill set. So I like it, but I don't love it. Now, of course, he was saved, and the best thing that happened for Colorado was they went with Charlie Condon at three. I like this pick. Assuming he hits well after he signs, this is going to become the guy that everyone's saying. This is like Nolan Gorman, 1-1 of your fantasy draft. He's got the most value because that Colorado park, and everyone is going to forget what happens and how bad Colorado is at developing guys. Now, Condon should not need as much attention as some of the other guys that they've drafted, Veen, etc. But he's still got to go in that system, and some coaches are going to try to tell him some things. So assuming that that's muted to the most part and Condon can be who he is, this is a really good guy going to a good park. And, you know the line. You know the fantasy line on Colorado picks. So, I agree, Britton. They had to be thrilled to get him at three. And, again, there was a lot of talent that came, you know, later on, and they didn't jump the gun and get the number five pick, which I was happy about. But at four with Oakland, Nick Kurtz, first baseman, Not only does this solve an issue within the Oakland organization, but they, because they don't have a first baseman locked in or within the system that's really strong. But the Park move next year, if by chance he is moved quickly, he could be one of those late season 2025 gem type guys. And I think it's Sacramento that they're going to, and everybody's getting all juiced up over that.
Yeah.
And to round out the top five, the White Sox smoked Hagen Smith off the board. For me right now, immediate reaction, this is my 1-1. I like that Smith and Noah Schultz should be able to debut close to each other. And by 2027, the White Sox rotation could look excellent. You know, they got Thorpe, they got other arms in and around, but for a top five, I mean, it's good, and it's not in the order that anybody really wanted. Chad saying that Kurtz is his 1-1. I mean, Kurtz needs to go and get some at-bats as well in order to really earn that, but we'll see. So,
have you heard about this, by the way?
You mean Richards and beignets? Yes. I understand.
Check out Mike Virginia and Britton Allen on the latest Fabulous Waiver Wire show, and since it's the All-Star break, you got a lot of time to kind of stew on that latest episode. Where dongs and donuts are very, very
dongs and donuts. Yeah, that's better. That's good. Damn! I don't like the dongs because I feel like that's too CBS-y for me, and I like to be anti-CBS. So
no, I love dong. They don't get to co-opt dong. I love dong. Oh, I always have. I always will. I love dong. I always have. I always will.
Okay, speaking of dongs, I know that there'll be a few getting hit in KC with Jack Caglione heading out there at number six. This was a gift for KC at six. They're on the rise, and Keg should slot in the lineup in the next 24 months to keep that momentum going. Watch out, Vinny P. You need to play more better.
I'm bummed as a Tigers fan that he'll be in the division now.
Yeah. I mean, again, we got to see these college guys develop and change things over. And there's, you know, there's the wood bat season, as I have been hearing people talk about, you know, how they do in the Cape Cod. Like any way that somebody wants to knock somebody down, right? How they do in here, find a way that they didn't do well, whatever. Caglione's good. This is a good baseball player at six, and he's in the right environment at the right time with that club. I hope he doesn't have some three-year development or some major injury to lose a year. And like I said,
also listed officially as a TWP.
A TWP? What's that?
Yeah. Two-way player.
Oh.
Listed officially.
Yes, where he was drafted 1B left-handed pitcher. That's true. So at seven, the Cardinals did a very Cardinals thing. J.J. Weatherholt, middle infielder, classic pick for them. See you in 3 years, J.J., and I'm confident fantasy GMs are going to make him a top five ADP. I won't, but I think that's what's going to happen. People are going to think this guy is going to move. He's going to be good. But I'm a little concerned about St. Louis clogging things up. So that's why. Chad, I think you're forgetting that this is Major League Baseball and not NFL. Every player that gets drafted is not going to come up immediately. I know there's been a very slight rise in players drafted and debuting within a calendar year, but we are still like super small percentage of that happening. And the success rates have not dictated that they should keep going. Skeens is an exception. So, Eddie, you'll be satisfied with so far with what the Yankees have been up to. So at eight, Christian Moore. To the Angels of Tennessee. So the easy comment here is, I guess Chris Drury's getting moved over the next month to make way. But I want to see more. You know, I want to see more, and I don't want them to do the rush thing that they've been doing. And that Chad, would be where you put the comment of, I guess Drury's moving because he's going to. That's more likely than KC rushing guys up and things like that. Perfect storm. I don't know, man. You were calling KC to be great before the draft. So I think they're more likely to move a piece out than they are to call a guy up like this. But hey, crazy things happen. So number nine, Pittsburgh, Connor Griffin.
Coner, sorry.
Okay. Shortstop, outfield type. Okay, I know in our 2.0 mock there was conversation about putting bats in the system. I can't remember who the listener was that commented in. And here you go. So this is what you wanted. It's not what I wanted. This is what you wanted. I don't like this for fantasy. Griffin's off my board. I'm not worrying about him. 10, Washington.
Smart motherfucker. That's right.
Yeah, a 10, Washington shortstop, former Wake Forest. Seaver King. Should probably say the name of the player. That would help. I like it. He might slip if he's on the board, but for teams like outside of the top 10, but for teams in the mid-teens, this is where you're going to want to pick up Seaver King. You're not going to want to reach. You're going to want him to fall back to you. At 11th, this might be one that you've got a different opinion on here. Bryce Rainier. I like this one at 3 to Colorado. But you know, so Detroit takes him, Bryce at 11. First, Max Clark, now another high school bat in the first round. I like the idea, lots of arms in the systems and a bunch of pieces at MLB in the upper minors that could stick around, but really we're not sure about that. But that kind of makes this pick ideal for Detroit. But it is not ideal for fantasy GMs, because I think...
In my regards to King Tut, asshole.
I think he could get bumped up a little bit, because people are trying to make a way for him to be in the lineup in 2027. And I don't think that's anything Detroit's really interested in. So, I mean, long term, I like it, but I think he's going to be the kind of guy you might want to trade for in 18 months after he was drafted too high by somebody else versus you going to making a top 8 pick or something.
Yes. Look, real simple. I was on the pre-draft show last night for Rogelio Castillo and the Tigers Minor League Report. Please follow the Tigers Minor League Report on Twitter, X, YouTube. They're over there all the time, all their videos 24/7. Really good stuff. They broke down the draft, and obviously they focused on the Tigers pick when it came up, but they know the draft inside and out. They know prospects and dynasty stuff too. So if you want to have like straight dope on Tigers prospects, that's a great place to be. Tigers Minor League Report. I just want to really push that. Everybody go right now and just subscribe to it while you're on YouTube, please. Now, thank you. But I said on the pregame show I didn't want them to take a prep bat, but that's a fan thing. That's like a guy saying, first off, didn't know that Rainier would actually still be there, and he ended up being there. The draft went differently, of course, because nobody ever gets it right. And I remember when Carlos Colazzo was on this show for the MLB draft preview, which you guys can watch on YouTube anytime. We have a whole playlist called MLB Draft. And he said that this was a really weak year for preps in particular.
Which is interesting seeing how it all went.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Like they kind of forced the Tigers to end up taking a prep bat.
When we go through, like, one of the things I really like to do after the draft is over is I divide up our college and high school guys and then our pitchers and our hitters and all that. And I divide up and I look at it. And I did this, I think it was when Carlos was on. I was talking about that and saying, like, the success rate of, you know, high school hitters and high school pitchers and all that, it's all really low. And even though it's bumped up over the last 8 years of drafting, when you go 12 years to, you know, 9 years ago, it's low. And then you go from 8 years up to it's still low. Overall, it's better.
Yeah.
Mike VA is asking, did you like that? Like, you didn't want them to do a prep arm, but they did. So are you, as a fan, are you cool with it?
I'm cool with it.
That's putting it mildly.
It's fine. It's okay. I'm not pissed about it at all. Obviously, Scott Harris taking Max Clark. But then he also took Kevin McGonigal in the second round last year, which they spent more money on, who's moving up quickly. That's a guy you want to have in Dynasty, by the way, folks. Kevin McGonigal. But it's fine with me. Obviously, Scott Harris sees the big picture. I respect that, so do your thing. And if this guy ends up being Corey Seager, which I guarantee he won't. Everybody loves to make these comps based on looks. Just because he has a similar body type and hits from the same side doesn't mean he's Corey Seager, okay?
It does happen a lot. A lot of the comps are based on body type, or if it's a hitter, you know, maybe kind of sort of how they have a hitch or whatever in their swing. And then that's the automatic thing that we start hearing 50 times over. We got to see what these guys do. A lot of them with wood bats. That's a big change.
Okay, that's true. Last thing I'll say is also the Tigers really do need an above average shortstop prospect. They got a lot of shortstop prospects, but not like above average ones. Just a bunch of middle of the road at best. So this guy, if he ends up being an above-average shortstop guy, that's great news.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we'll move that's on in a moment. I just noticed in the chat that Chad said Seaver King is Brady House 2.0. Brady House is having a fine year in some categories statistically. So never a great idea to immediately give up. I mean, it happens every year where someone's like, this guy was drafted high, and then, you know, 8 months later, that's his peak, his fantasy peak. And it's okay to draft those guys because you can always, thank you, Eddie. We are awesome. I agree. You can always trade a guy at peak and regret it the rest of your time. But I find most often with prospects, save for single digit guys.
That's all I had to say about that.
Oh, shut up, Gorse. Sorry.
Save for single digit guys the last 4 years, you will not regret taking a guy high, trading him during the offseason for a legitimate MLB or at position X on your fantasy team. You will be further ahead doing that as long as you are actually a good drafter, and in your fifth, sixth, and beyond rounds, you are drafting guys that become MLBers too. They can be oh my goodness, what's the guy that you like that was on Houston and then went to Chicago and went on a run earlier this year, the outfielder.
Jolks, Mr. Jolks.
Thank you, Corey Jolks, yeah.
So who faded away, so you were kind of right in the end.
But you can get guys like that. And as long as you get guys that can come in and be plugs for you, you can also be one of those serial traders in your dynasty leagues who the guy's up, he's doing well, boom, you trade him away for someone you like more, and you're always moving. That's fun in fantasy. Having guys in your league that do that all the time, you can always go to them for a trade. They're fun. So if you know somebody's like that in your league, and if Siver King ends up being one of those guys that should move around a lot in your dynasty league, cool. At some point, you should probably roster him. All right, on to 12.
Yeah, everyone listen to Robbie, okay? Here on the Plaza Podcast, 2L2Z's.
Utah.
Prospects Power Hour. Please follow us everywhere. Tigers Minor League Report. Sub now on YouTube.
The Boston Red Sox at 12 had Braden Montgomery fall into their laps. Get ready for the Benny comps. We just talked about the comps being given. So get ready.
They loved him on the MLB Network broadcast. They're like, oh my God, the Red Sox just stole the draft.
Yeah, I think this was a slide the Red Sox were happy to have, and I think this is going to be in and around a top 10 FYPD. Of course, once they start playing, that can move, but today, right now, if I'm putting together the unorganized order, he's right there, right in like 8, 9, 10 for me. 13th, San Francisco did something I didn't like. They drafted James Tibbs, an outfielder. I don't like it for fantasy purposes. I'm going to pass in drafts this offseason. Lack a track record within the organization. And if you're like, what about Ramos and Matos? They're both J2, J15 guys. Years and years for Helio Ramos. Years and years for Helio Ramos. He was like an 18, 19 type guy.
Wow.
And that's developing outfielders. It's a hard park to field in. If you've ever listened to interview or like former players talk about it, they talk about the adjustment being difficult because you try to get used to your home park. And of course, you're on the road for half your games. So it can become something of an art to learn how to field in that park efficiently. And if you're not doing well in the field, sometimes you bring that to the bat. So I do have concerns for Tibbs, despite his solid track record at the college level.
Mr. Tibbs!
At 14, the Cubs took Cam Smith, third baseman. I'm okay with it. I'm not wowed. Next, 15, Seattle. Let's get into it. They took, difficult to pronounce, Gerangelo Sigente, the left-handed, right-handed pitcher. I love this.
Wow, dude.
Seattle already has a rotation and a bullpen with guys they've drafted and developed. And here's a unique arm. Well, two arms, two unique arms on one body. And it's the right organization for him to go to be an impact arm at MLB. Not a gimmick, a legitimate pitcher. And as Bennett said before, he thinks he's going to, you know, punt on one side and just, you know, just be, I think he said, just be a right-handed pitcher, possibly just whatever it was, right or left. I got a 50% chance.
Bullshit,
right?
I can't hear you. Sound yeah. off like you got a pair.
I'm trying. But I'm thinking that maybe they take him at 15 because they're trying to save a few bucks to use for something fun and exciting later in the draft. But for me, Sigente is going to end up being somebody I'd love to get, but I'm not going to end up having him in fantasy. So it's just...
And that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. And so that's our top 15. And we move into... Here, I'm going to keep our notes here nice and tidy. At 35 Genius. Minutes and 30 seconds, 16 through 25, I'm going to ramble them off. And then Govier, circle back to anybody you'd like to touch on afterwards. Maybe don't touch them. But at 16...
Sir, yes, sir.
Miami, we got PJ Morlando, outfielder. I'd go back to Beloit to watch him, you know, enticing addition to the system, but a fantasy pass for me in round one. This was within those high school guys, right? Ben mentioned this in the video we didn't get to air. You'll get to see it. You'll get to hear it. He talked
will.
About how a lot of high school players taken are going to force more exciting picks for these teams, which means more exciting picks for us in fantasy with the college guys in the later rounds. Yeah, of course, because they're still going to get taken. So, Morlando's a pass for me. Milwaukee, who I've got the flag behind me here.
Hey!
Picked that up on the road trip. They took outfield high schooler Brandon Payne. This guy would likely have been around for their later first-round pick.
Braylon Payne, sorry.
Braylon Payne.
Like Braylon Edwards, the legendary Michigan receiver.
Okay. Sure, man. but I'm passing on him in my first round ADP as well. Then Theo, I'll just pronounce the last name wrong and you correct it. Theo Hillen.
I think it actually is Gillen.
Yeah, right, whatever. Anyway, a high schooler with Tampa Bay, already not interested because it's a Tampa Bay draft pick. But for fantasy purposes, I'm not. See all the other comments I've ever made about their lack of developing high schoolers. But for some reason, they'll jump J2 guys. So, you know, prove me wrong, Tampa Bay. I'll be happy to be wrong on that one. 19.
Wow, I tell you, man, that's sad.
He is miserable.
I'm not. I'm happy, generally speaking. 19th, the Mets, Carson Beignet. I'll just make that.
Ooh.
Yeah, see, hear that? Hear that, Britain? outfielder from OSU. I like the pick. I think it's a top 15 fantasy today, but let's see where, or sorry, let's see what he does post signing. At 20,
Beignet?
At 20, Beignet, maybe. Maybe. At 20.
Oh, it also reminds me of Rebenga from Scarface. Rebenga!
Not familiar. Not familiar.
Oh.
Was he also in Freddy Got Fingered? Yeah, that's a little Cinema 9 crossover right there, everybody.
Wow, dude. Yeah.
Wow, dude.
I don't know what to say, really.
Commercial! Commercial!
You're listening to the Palazzo Podcast. If you've got some noodles in the water on your stove, now's a great time to check if they're overcooked. Me, myself, I prefer al dente. More pointless commercials are up next, right here on the Palazzo Podcast.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
At 20, the Blue Jays picked Treya Savage from ECU. So unbiased, as I've tried to declare, I am not a Blue Jay fan despite all of the paraphernalia Correct. That I do own. But here's a nice pick for Toronto. They bought a rotation, but it's not coming together, and they aren't likely to strip it away. So if Trey gets 20 innings after he signs, I can see him in Double A to start 2025 and let the hype train roll. Sure. So, yeah. So Chad's just saying that there's rumors about the signing BS that goes on where a player says he won't sign with another team because one team's going to give him lots of money. If that's what it took to get him there, Toronto's not in a position of power in signing guys. They are in a position of need. So if they felt like they needed Savage for that purpose, cool, man. Because last year's first round pick is on the Tommy John train right now, and it's you know, who knows who we're going to get from that in the long run.
We can laugh about it now. We're all right.
Yeah. So Savage, I think, could jump all the way up into the top 10 for FYPD if, like I mentioned, he comes out and pitches strong, because the hype is going to be on bringing him up. Because if Bassett, for some reason, if Toronto makes a really good choice of trading Bassett at the deadline, it opens up multiple rotation spots for next year. Otherwise, it'll just be SP5 that's open, and they're not going to bring Kikuchi back. So you could argue for, but I'm sure they're just going to go do something stupid and sign some bum for $10 million a year who's had 1.5 good seasons. So
all downhill from there.
Yeah. Hundo P. 21st pick, Minnesota shortstop Kalen Culpepper. I think I picked him with Minnesota second pick in the mock draft we did. And then I had a look. No, it was the Dodgers I put him with. I like him in the system, really? but I'm not excited for him to be in and amongst that crowd of guys. So Chad has
also
a different opinion.
Culpepper's back in Minnesota for the first time.
Yeah, exactly.
Since Dante left.
I think it's his son. No, it's not. Doesn't matter. 22nd.
Do you have tiny hands like Dante did?
Oh,
22nd wow, overall, dude. The Orioles took outfielder Vance Honeycutt. It's a good pick. It's a top 15 fantasy pick.
Wow.
Dive into that one at another point in time. It's a good pick. 23rd, the Dodgers took shortstop Kellen Lindsay, high schooler from Florida. The Dodgers went for pitching in the draft for a couple years to high school.
Great job.
And I want to see it play out. I won't likely draft Lindsay, but it's fun to watch the Dodgers make these picks and change up how they're systematically drafting. And now they're giving guys lots of time to develop. Why? Because they have all these veterans on long ass contracts. So it does make sense to do this as a wave process, right? You're going to bring up the next wave of guys. And in the offseason, they also made a trade where they got Zahir Hope, who might be part of that next wave, whether we're just hyping him up or not. 24th, the least interesting pick of the entire draft because it's Ben's team and he's not here. Is left-handed pitcher Ken Caminiti. Sense. Yeah, it makes sense that Atlanta would draft a guy who they probably want to bring up quick. Cool.
You have failed.
25th, San Diego. They cashed in on Cash Mayfield, left-handed Hey-oh. Pitcher. I think it's fine, but I thought they'd be going younger, and I thought the Dodgers would be going college arms. So I like the organizational switches that these guys have done. Even in our mock, I said I didn't like the college arms that were available when we did ours, myself and Ben, and I stand by that. Although, Cash, you're going to need to pitch some innings before I can really see a way to get you in the top 15 for ADP. 26th, the Yankees went with right-handed pitcher Ben Hess. Okay, cool, but can they develop him? Name the last, Govier, this is for you, name the last Yankee-drafted starting pitcher that had three good seasons. I'll wait.
Three good seasons?
Three good seasons.
Did Luis Severino get drafted?
Did Luis Severino have three good seasons?
He was close. Maybe two.
He was close. And that's why I said three. So he is a fantasy pass for me, dog. There you go. Andy Pettit. Yeah, that's probably accurate. Eddie's coming in with Andy Pettit. I think that's and Mike's asking if Honeycutt's related to Honeywell. I mean, maybe. They might both be screwballs, but in different ways. One throws them, one is one. We'll see. So now
you have failed.
We're on to 27 here. The Phillies, this was an interesting pick. Interested to see who they were going to take, and they went with Dante Nori, an outfielder, youth addition here. Can he be a legit homegrown
from
outfielder?
Northville High School.
Okay, great.
That's where I did my student teaching in 2010, so I know it well.
Oh, okay, well. That's you've got a tie to it. That's good. How was the ball diamond for the high school? Was it one of those like how all of America has amazing football fields and I don't get it?
Northville's a well-funded district, if you will.
Yeah.
Okay. So yes, they probably had a better than average baseball diamond. Yes.
Yeah. Just yeah. Anyway. So how's he going to do? Time will tell, but I'm passing in my fantasy drafts. I'm not interested. Chad, Garrett Cole, just a refresher. They didn't.
He's saying they drafted him.
They didn't sign him.
Oh, okay.
Right. It was develop. It was develop. That was
he went to college. He went to UCLA.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the key word. And I get it. I used to love playing the do you know who the Blue Jays drafted game? Because the list is rich when it was like 30-some rounds. They draft all these high schoolers and like never signed any.
Eddie's the sheriff of the chat. He's clarifying. You don't have to do any of this work because Eddie's doing it for you.
Thank you, Eddie. Appreciate it. Appreciate
Great
you.
Great job, Eddie.
Great job.
So, yeah. So now we've got 28 with Houston. Catcher, Walker, Janik, couldn't care less.
Catcher!
Hate the team. Hate the position for fantasy. Cool. 29th Arizona, Slade Caldwell, outfielder. I like
another Slade.
I like it for pick one, but I want more info before I place one of those top 20 fantasy picks on him, putting him up high in an ADP. So
this has to be a record, though. There's never been a team that has rostered two Slades in their organization throughout their entire organization. It's never happened in MLB history. I'm just going to say that off the cuff.
No one's going to check that. So you're good. You're good with me. I'm sure you're good with everybody listening and watching later on.
Slade Ciccone, man. Hopefully Slade Ciccone and Slade Caldwell end up rooming together in a couple of years. That's what I hope for.
Okay. Interesting. 30th, we got the defending World Series champs. They took catcher Malcolm Moore. Makes sense for Texas. And if he slides in fantasy past 60th in non-points leagues, I like how I had to make sure I made that note. If he is there after 60th in your first-year player drafts, I would strongly consider moving him to the top of your queue.
You have failed.
He's had success with wood bats. He is going to be one of those organizational catchers who has some offensive upside. But again, catcher and fantasy and first round picks don't make sense. You can Adley Rushman all you want. It doesn't matter. One guy does not make it right. Talk to me about Joey Bart and all the fantasy owners out there crying over that miss. You pick other dudes that have chance at more at-bats, more playing time, more production. And, you know, the Adleys of the world, great. But, like, they're few and far between. So 31st, Arizona went with Kansas outfielder Ryan Waldschmidt, who I think is Canadian. And this could be a steal in fantasy if he holds into the 30s range. Arizona here with an advanced bat. 32, Baltimore back on the board, taking Virginia shortstop Griffel Farrell. I assume they've made picks thinking they want all the depth they can, and I further assume that they will ship out some of their current AA, AAA players over the next month, so the two picks that they've just got have a space within the organization to move up.
Griff O. Farrell, for the record.
Yeah, Griff O. Farrell. It's a great fun job. One. It's it a is. Fun one.
Not to be dismissing or disrespecting Griff McGarry.
So. Right, two different dudes. Just, yeah. 33rd, Minnesota back on the clock. College shortstop, Kyle DeBarge.
Cool.
Double shortstop picks for the Twins. Fun. Let's see where they land post-signing and how their pro debuts go. Nothing better than having guys compete right from the hop. So from draft day on, these guys could try to not necessarily outpace each other, but see how they develop.
That's hard.
Milwaukee back on the board at 34th, taking first baseman Blake Burke. The Tennessee slugger. I mean, I'm sure Britton could have some fun, exciting Tennessee name for him. Could fit in the system, and the MLB team wouldn't mind locking in on a 1B. We've seen them try to do that for years and years, even taking Rowdy Tellez and turning him into a serviceable hitter for a period of time. So 35th, Arizona back up. They took JD Dix, and I didn't dive onto Dix, so I don't have – I got Dix for you. Sorry. On
JD
that one.
Dix and donuts?
Yeah, we're going to have to go back to Dix in the future. 36 here.
Great job.
Cleveland right-handed pitcher Braylon Doughty. This is a Cleveland pick. This is a guy I can get behind, and this is someone that I hope, like Alex Clemmie did in a couple drafts last year, I hope he slides.
What? Dick.
Because this is what Cleveland can do. Is take a guy, first top 100 guy, and make him into something. And I think they've got a good one here. They got the bones of success here with Doughty at 36. 37, Pittsburgh took right-hand pitcher Levi Sterling, high school arm.
Cry me a river, dick face.
Where are you getting these? Oh, my God. I'm terrified for Sterling. You know, Pittsburgh, just it's the system, right? This is 100% pass for me. I am afraid. I hope they make good on him, but they don't have a track record for doing it with high school arms. And yeah, I mean, people were talking about it a few days ago. I forget if it was on our podcast that there was a discussion about developing anybody, really.
It's true.
Yeah, I think that's right, Chad. It's got to be.
Wow. 38
look, here. I'm not going to be a dick.
Oh my God, it's all so phallic. 38th Colorado making the pick we didn't want him to, taking right-hander Brody Brecht from Iowa. We knew they would take a starting pitcher, and this is their guy. Ignore him until post 100 in your fantasy drafts, guys. This is nothing against the player, but track record since 2020 of MLB draft picks coming up and doing stuff been very low, right? Kyle Freeland, I think, was fourth overall once upon a time, and he's also a hometown boy, and he has worked out to a degree in the sense that he has been a pitcher with the team for a while. John Gray, I think he was third overall. He was a good guy in their organization for a while. But these are not fantasy guys that you are going to... Oh, my God, Joe, you nailed it. These are not fantasy guys that you are going
dicks.
To be pumped for. Oh, my... How do you find this many? So the last guy here. And this is... Yeah, I am absolutely... Yes, Joe's just saying if I'm worried about Sterling, I have to be terrified about Brecht. I am. And I think he is a velo-type pick that we're going to need to see develop, and we know that that's not Colorado's strong suit with starting pitching. And the park obviously has a big factor to it. But Ryan Feltner was able to defy the odds and be a high K guy in the minors. And then
true.
Here and there, he has good starts, and he has 10 punch-out games. So we'll see.
Coors.
Final guy to discuss tonight here is Washington's pick, which was traded from Kansas City, which is fun. A draft pick was traded, but they took Cal catcher Caleb Lombata. Solid pick at 39 for a hitting catcher out of Hawaii. And considering they traded Hunter Harvey and got the 39th pick, the money that went along with it, and another prospect, very well done for the Nationals. I really
great job.
That pick at 39. The organization is doing good, smart things. So some notable picks after 39. One second.
Hey guys, too many dicks. Time, right?
Oh my gosh, these guys not dicks so much. But one of the big fallers last night was 40th overall. Oakland scooped up Tommy White, the third baseman from White? LSU. This is the Adam Dunn, the whatever name your potential, your current Reese Hines of guy that can hit a bunch of bombs, is going to strike out a whole bunch. We don't know what he's going to do.
True.
Yeah.
Actually. Robbie's about to mention one of your guys, Chad.
Yeah, we've got Cleveland taking catcher Jacob Cozart. Very smart pick right there for Cleveland. 53rd, we had the Yankees with a second pitcher pick that I really liked, Vance Bryce Cunningham. 55th, Seattle took right-handed pitcher Ryan Sloan, which I thought was noteworthy to mention because this is what I was talking about last week with DePoto possibly wanting to do right with high schooler arms, which he hasn't yet done. Yeah, we'll talk about some of those guys that is being mentioned now in the chat next week when we've got Ben back with us. 60th pick was also one that I thought was worthy of mention. Billy Amick, who Ben had taken in our mock draft last week and talked about him and Tommy White kind of being one off each other. Both guys slid, and I think it makes a lot of sense when third baseman, college third baseman slide that have a big strikeout potential is that teams don't want to go into multi-million dollar players, and they already know there's potential for big failure. So as they get up, in double A, they're going to really struggle. In triple A, they could really struggle, and they might never be able to get it together. But early on in the draft, that there's your 39, and there's another five guys that I thought were good picks. At 60, I think Billy Amick is a very good pick.
How about Robbie Baseball? Follow him on Twitter at not MoParFest _Robbie, but how about
That's
just
Instagram.
Robbie Baseball 1? That's Instagram. Okay, yeah. we'll promote Instagram.
Yeah, I just thought I'd throw the Mopar Fest Robbie on Insta. It's also on
I'm glad
YouTube,
you did
but
that.
I don't post anything. YouTube. But on Instagram.
Great job.
Yeah, it's other stuff. So, but anyway, what we're calling the main topic for tonight, which isn't really the main topic.
Wait.
What?
I'm not done. Hang on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's Nick.
Oh, my God. Jeez. You are hard to deal with tonight.
I can, yes.
Get it?
Some people have said that I'm a I'm a pain in the groin, I've been told. But, you know, I do the best I can.
I've never heard pain in the show dick before.
Yeah, no one's ever said that before.
About that.
Was it this glass dick you've been sucking on, huh?
Oh, my God. How do you keep finding all these?
That is years and years of work. That's what it is. That's called doing the legwork. It's all in our beautiful, deep library of stupid sounds. If you have any sounds you want added for the show, email us, palazzopodcast2ls2zs@gmail.com, or you can hit us up at Discord, which is free. The link's in the description. Patreon starts at $3. We got a lot of good stuff going on here. So, yes, Robbie, next.
Yeah. Well, the other topic that I thought was worthy to cover tonight were some guys in
speaking of diarrhea.
Oh, my God. Some guys in the upper minors who are leading their league in Category X. So the ones that are kind of important for fantasy are impact guys we need later in the year, home run hitters, stolen base guys. For pitchers, it's high K guys. And then some players of note, which we can just cap it at AAA guys, because I know Mike is desperate to move to Canada. And I want to give him, I want to give him all the time to pack, because I'm as excited for him to move as he is. So
thank you.
Home run. Got
one of my boys on this list too.
Home run leaders in AAA. We've got Luken Baker and Ryan Ward, both with 25. Baker's with St. Louis. Ward is with the Dodgers. Ward was an eighth round pick in 2019. This is your next slow burn type James Outman under the radar type guy. No, this is not him. No, guys. This is a little bit of lightning in a bottle, really having a great year, Ryan Ward. So could come up. I don't think he's on the 40 man, and that's probably why Outman went back up and Ward didn't get a shot. So I'm not too pumped about this. But more importantly, Luken Baker, despite his average being down this year by like 40-ish points, his OBP is 344, OPS 898.
A liar.
He should 100% be traded to any organization that just drafted a first baseman in the first three rounds. And the reason I'm saying that is that then you can have him push whoever is your first baseman, or he can be pushing to become your actual first baseman, looking at you, Oakland. And then you can slowly work in your now, you know, multi-million dollar prospect into that role to be pushing Baker to contribute, because he needs to be hitting for better average. But when he's been getting his little tea sandwiches with St. Louis, he's not playing. He's put on the bench, and then he's given a couple starts and then put back on the bench. He needs a real run, right? Is it MLB? What is he? 86 at bats for MLB. Yeah. That's not giving a player a chance. He's a solid hitter, but at 27 now, it is time. And he's not a forgotten guy. He was a second round pick. I remember
this is why we need expansion, dude. I've been pushing on this for like the last year. I truly actually think we actually need baseball expansion, MLB expansion. I do.
As much as this is just an idea off the top of my head here, as much as high school parents or whatever, young parents, parents of young kids hate prep circuits, AAA could use a prep circuit. Teams could use a prep circuit like they have the fall league for guys of this ilk. So it's kind of like your 24 to 26, 7-year-olds, guys who should be MLB regulars, allegedly, in that age frame of 24 to 27, who they can basically showcase, you know, whatever, 4 or 5 rosters worth of it. And they do a round robin, and then they do some sort of thing with like 10-ish games out of it. Do something, because a Luken Baker should be coveted by more organizations. Unless for some reason St. Louis is like, we are not getting rid of him yet. We want to keep him around for something. But they're not giving him opportunity at the MLB level. And he crushed AAA last year, came up and didn't get the consistent playing time. He did struggle when he got it, but that's also what happens when you're not given the time. And then he
went
back down.
Give the guy 300 at bats.
Yeah, he went back down, and he continued to rake, and he started slow this year, but he's bringing it back on. And the OBP is
look at Juan Yepez.
Yes, and they were able to cast him aside, thinking, I'm guessing, we'll take Luken Baker. But he also is not getting the opportunity. You need to give the
exactly.
damn opportunities.
It's the same story. And he's Juan Yepez now, he hasn't shown any power, but he's hitting every day, base hits every day for Washington over the last 2 weeks. So I'm just saying there's opportunities await. And you look at also the Orioles system and how long and how delayed Kerstad was, and he got jerked around. I'm saying there are enough spots. If we added 2 Major League Baseball teams in expansion, I think we'd be all right. I really don't think we'd be hurting the pool too much. I don't think we'd be so spread thin like it was back in the 90s. I don't.
I mean, the development is insane versus what it was 20 years ago, right? How players are getting up to their
you're
level
right.
and stuff. So
that alone is a difference.
At least affording opportunities would be a good thing. Speaking of that, Ruben, right fielder Ruben Carradens of Philly has 20 home runs and a 277 average.
Cardenas? Well,
Cardenas? Sure. Whatever. He's, cool, man.
You put Kyle Garlick on here?
Yes, I put Kyle Garlick on here, and I'll tell you why I put Kyle Garlick on here. Because he's got 21 dingers, and he's 32 years old, and it's not going to matter, but I wanted to make sure he got mentioned because this is another guy who, when given the opportunity with the Twins, was doing well. And as soon as he started to struggle, he was on the bench because he wasn't the guy. He wasn't going to get the opportunities. And that's the fate that Baker is also suffering at the moment. But look at that smile, you know?
It's a beautiful smile. He's
got a
nice...
Don't you want to give that guy a two-year, $8 million contract? I don't know.
Well, he's with Arizona, by the way, now, just
yes,
for the
switched
update.
So. Because now he's a minor league free agent, so he goes to wherever he thinks there's potentially a shot to get a call-up, right? But I don't think he's on a major league 40-man. So, yeah, Joe saying getting rid of Florida State League. Yeah. I mean, you can also maybe pump less
money. Are we getting rid of it?
Well, pump less money into the DSL. You know? Let's concentrate more on the draft as opposed to the J2. There's a lot of money teams are spending on 16-year-olds that work out less than 6% of the time. So
you're saying that because they're so far away? Is that what you're meaning? Like, it's just the gap?
As we found out from interviews this year, as you know, confirming suspicions, these are 14-year-olds getting multi-million-dollar contracts. Then at 16, they're signing those contracts. And there are already players at their age better than them who either don't get signed or whatever. So the pool is tainted. So you're not going to say we're going to wipe it out and get rid of it because some of our most exciting players come from the J2 class, Soto, Acuna, and so on. But there are guys who there's a better way that you can probably develop them without major league teams spending multi-millions of dollars every year on that. And I mean, I'm all for fun, exciting changes that get something new into baseball as far as seeing talented players of the age that they can help a major league team, not of the age that they can screw us over in fantasy. That's all the 16, 17-year-olds, you know, even the 18-year-olds that get drafted in the major league draft, you know, very low success.
True.
Back to the dinger party here. Shortstop Jesus Bastidas of Houston.
Great name.
Yeah, he's a 25-year-old. He's got 20 dongs. He's somebody to kind of like have a little look-see at. You know, I know they got Pena and they got Altuve, so there isn't a spot for him. But it doesn't mean you don't want to maybe throw this guy on as your final prospect, depending on your depth. Because at AAA, when you're hitting 20 home runs, it's one pitch inside on the wrist to a starter, and all of a sudden he could become an... Oh, he's 24. I was wrong. Jeez.
No, this is Del Castillo.
Oh, this is the next
I'm ready. Yep. I'm chopping. I'm stoked because I love Del Castillo. I've had him in a couple dynasty teams. He's been hanging around. I'm excited.
Adrian Del Castillo from Arizona, 24-year-old. He was a second-round pick in 2021, and he's been good. Like, his average has popped up big time this year to .318 with those 20 home runs, but that's amazing. Like,
yeah,
man. Now, this to me, if I'm Arizona and I was competing, I would be like, let's trade him because we have our kind of catcher.
Moreno.
Yeah, we're okay. So what can we get back? And if going back to Toronto, if I'm Toronto, I'd be like, well, I got Chris Bassett and some other guys. Like, I'd like to unload. I'd like to unload next year's Bassett contract.
You're advocating a catcher come to Toronto. How about that?
And I'm doing it because they're going to ship Jansen out. And if they don't, they're morons for not doing it because Danny Jansen was roster fodder for fantasy owners for years and years. And he's only had pockets of success 10 days at a time, you know, two or three times in a year, which we know. And if you've rostered him, you get it. And if you've watched him, you know, you see the frustration in having him around the organization as far as like, he's, you know, pitchers like him and stuff like that. But that's cool. That's
look at the big drop
pitcher.
Too. Yeah, that's right. But also look at the big drop in strikeouts from last year to this year for Del Castillo.
Yeah.
That also is interesting. I mean, obviously the batting average is going up, so he would have
Like the numbers 336 this year, 357 last year, but the K's, almost 50% less.
And that's huge.
There are fewer walks, 40 this year from 60 last year, but that's because the ball's in play or it's over the fence. So on the speedster side, this is just kind of interesting to me. Seattle with a strategy here. They got outfielder Cade Marlowe, who has been up with a big league club this year with 43 and a 346 OBP with 12 dingers. Now, I've focused on OBP with some of the stolen base guys here, Govier, because I find it's important to understand why they have a lot of stolen bases. They're all good at getting on base. So when you're trying to figure out if player X with his .280 average and his .320 OBP is going to be better than, you know, player B who has a .240 average but a .365 OBP, you want the OBP. You just want the guy on base. So that's why they're listed here. Samad Taylor, who is roster fodder, he's got 31 with a 361 OBP. Then Washington's got an interesting one here. 25-year-old second baseman Darren Baker.
Bye-bye.
30 stolen bases, 345 OBP. This guy might get some time. Not like,
Dusty's son.
Is that Dusty's son? So is that the little kid that they had to get out of the way during the World
Series? It is. Welcome to 2024. He was not. Yeah, that's him. Darren Baker. He's fast. I don't know if he has much else. If he could show maybe 10 to 15 home run pop, that might make the difference.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. But you could say that about anybody who's fast. If they can get 10 home runs, then you're going to love them.
Oh,
there was somebody. Really? There was. Oh, I'm going to mention him after. Yeah. Toronto has a center fielder, Stuart Baroa, with 30. He's 25 years old, 387 OBP. I mean, he's just stolen bases and OBP. I don't think there's power.
Is he related to Angel Baroa?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't. You know what?
Former Blue Jay.
You just asked the listeners to let you know any like little sound bites they want. Let's get some Fast and Furious. You need family. So that way, whenever someone says,
"What would you do if she died?"
Family.
No. I can be honest.
All right, you're right. I'll get on that. I will fix that for you.
We got two more left here on the stolen base side. The Yankees have a guy, and this hurts my heart. It's their center fielder in AAA, and it hurts my heart because the guy that I thought was going to be their center fielder has been demoted out of the good graces, whatever. He's back in AA. Elijah Dunham is gone, and the center fielder that's got 30 stolen bases is Brandon Lockridge. So for Dynasty guys out there, this is a twofer. This is welcome Brandon Lockridge to your fantasy eyes and goodbye at the same time. Zero home runs. 397 OBP. Zero home runs. Yeah, you don't want this. This is your prototypical come in the seventh inning, steal, get a pinch runner, and then you go play defense. This is Dwayne Wise. Do not put anything into this with Lockridge, but also – get rid of Elijah Dunham because I was pumped with him two AFLs ago. It was good. And the final guy here is we're rounding
out. Question of enough, pal. It's a zero-sum game.
Oh,
somebody wins, somebody loses.
That one didn't say dicks. Thank goodness. We're finishing where we started with Seattle. Ryan Bliss has 28 and a 382 OBP. So I know you
But he's been up in the bigs for at least a month.
Yeah.
Maybe more.
So
not doing shit, really, though.
But credit to Bliss for doing. And then at this point, it's up to the MLB manager to find a way to get him in. And you're not looking necessarily for the at bats for the hits, but it's we need a guy to get on base in innings 6, 7, 8, 9. And
well, he's a guy. Yeah, he's a guy that I've have in a couple of dynasty leagues. So he came up this year, but hasn't really been useful for me because he came on for a second, but then like Jorge Polanco came back, and there's no room for Bliss right now. But they've kept him on the MLB roster, which I find to be a little odd. I don't know if, again, well,
unlike
I guess
Kloss,
it is kind of like Darren Baker.
Right? Unlike Kloss A, who they sent back down twice.
Right.
Bliss has
That's
stuck
true.
Around, which means they feel there's some value there. Because
he has OBP potential. He really does. That's not bullshit.
Yeah, and when DePoto called Kloss A up earlier this year, he said the team needed a spark, and they were hoping he could provide it because they felt like he was that type of player that could do it, but he hasn't yet been able to make it happen. So that might be a 2025 thing for Class A. Hopefully he doesn't get over 130 at-bats and lose the prospect eligibility. That's when you start to fall down the forgotten bridge of former prospect. But Bliss.
Great job.
Bliss is still with the big league club. So he might look really good on my team and to be named later along with something else. And Max Scherzer. Max Scherzer might look good on your roster to finish out this year.
Oh, because that's interesting. I have a pending trade in that league, by the way.
Oh.
Offer. So.
Oh, okay. Well, my team is only one game over 500, but I'm two back, and I don't think it's going to come together for me. So Scherzer is my best trade piece, and I would like some. We can talk. We'll talk. Anyway.
I got some pieces. I do. I'm in a good position to have a winning record with a couple of prospects.
You're leading your division now. Again, from 0-4.
10-5.
From 0-4, everybody, he has went 10-1. Do not give up if you have a crap April. Do not give up. All right, on to pitching. Baltimore has the K-King of Chase McDermott, 90 innings pitched, 128 Ks. Don't go putting the fireworks off for McDermott, though. 54 walks on that.
Oh.
All these guys have a wart that I picked out just like for fun. Will Yankees. 84 2/3 inning pitch, 98 Ks, but the guy's given up 17 home runs. Like,
oh,
and that's how your ERA.
One of my guys is on here. Yep,
Carson Wisenhunt.
Yep, my guy. 77 like
innings
but...
pitched, 102 Ks, 43
awesome.
Yeah. Walks, 43.
Damn it,
free passes. 43 guys on first. Yep. And then finally, the last guy here.
That's why he didn't get the call, by the way. Hayden Birdsong, I think, skipped him specifically because of his walk problem. I really think that Wisenhunt would have got the call if he showed better command. I really do.
I can agree with that. As a guy who watched a bunch of baseball last week in person, I know how frustrating it is when you see a pitcher not able to force a hitter's hand. When the hitters are just sitting back waiting on a pitch, it's death. So for Wisenhunt, he's getting the Ks, but it's probably because guys are just like, oh, he's going to miss two or three of these at least. So I'm going to see if he misses three or four.
They're too comfortable with that.
Right. And then I'm going to swing for strike one, but I'm going to make him throw strike two. And I doubt they're doing the Kevin Biggio, I'm going to make you throw strike three. But
this is so good. I can't believe it. Yeah, I'm adding this one for sure. Britton, you're a genius.
I'm not repeating what's right. Just go to...
Genius.
Yeah. Go to the
Have you seen Reservoir Dogs?
Subscribe. Go to the YouTube, subscribe, and then go to 1 hour, 9 minutes, and 10 seconds. You can see this there horrible idea from Britton Lip Chap Allen. So we'll close off tonight with a player of note. I feel
pinch
it's
it off.
Valid. Yeah, I'm going to do the walk off. I'm going to walk off with a player of note here. Off.
The Gio Urshela closing.
Yes, and this is a guy that everybody loved and then everybody hated, and then we talked
not
about
me, not
being,
me
being caught, being stuck. Pedro Leon with Houston. Everybody, I hate the organization.
Oh, whoops, I was wrong.
He's 26 years old. He has 17 home runs, 21 stolen bases, 305 average, and a 380 OBP. Pedro Leon is ready. When he comes up with Houston, what's going to happen? I don't know. They've already failed with a couple of those peripheral type guys who have not done much. You know, Jukes, Jose Siri, whatever. But Leon was a guy they spent money on once upon a time. I assume they want to give him a chance, and he's of the age that you put him in the lineup down the stretch, or you trade him for a legitimate MLB whatever you need. But I don't think that's what Houston's going to be looking to do this year. So I think Pedro Leon is like a comeback prospect of the year right now. 100% candidate. That's something we should look into. Comeback prospects. I like it.
But, okay, so first off, I agree. I thought you were going to talk about Jack Leiter there. That's one I never liked. But,
I did mention Leiter. I said the final pitcher was Leiter. 58 innings,
I wasn't
pitch,
listening,
80 Ks. Obviously. I guess I probably didn't say that part.
I failed. But, yeah, Leon, I mean, time's ticking here. He's getting older. He looks good. I don't understand. I mean, they're in a playoff situation now. The last I checked, the Astros at the break, I think, were at least four games over. So they're obviously going to make a run to stay in the playoff hunt with Verlander coming back, mm-hmm. so on and so forth. So how does that play out? Does Leon get
it's just
loaded
that,
into this lineup, or does he get moved?
Yeah, do they need Leon, or is somebody else going to stand up and shout?
Nice.
I love that. Well, I love that movie.
I'm really proud of you.
My wife hates
love Rockstar.
That movie.
She hates
that movie.
Why? Because of that like one scene where everyone's naked?
No. I don't I think it's because I love to sing all of the songs. And I'm not good at it. No, I don't have your gift. But I do have the DVD somewhere over here. Right probably right beside Varsity Blues.
And we all die young. Oh, yeah. That's up there. That's tough. That's a hard one to hit, I gotta say.
It's great. But yeah, so there we go. So we covered your draft. We gave you some AAA dudes. Next week, we'll talk about the rest of the draft with Ben.
Sorry about Ben's video. Really wanted to play it because he made the effort to find a decent connection in the middle of nowhere to make it so. But I guess Jesus was against us today.
Yeah, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. You'll get it in a YouTube short. So you go subscribe. You hit the bell, the notifications, and then when we're able to load it up, you get it.
It's not like we tried to hurt Ben on purpose here, Ben. We love you. You're the best. Make sure you follow Ben on Twitter, X at Big Gentle Ben. He's a good man and thorough. Robbie Baseball, Sam, FBB1, Britton Allen, 2 T's, 2 L's, lots of podcasts, 2 L's, 2 Z's, MJ Govey, Mike Virginia _ Mike VA. Everybody here, CAO, Chad TTV, we're busting Nope, I'm not going to say that. I don't know why I was going into that, but I'm just going to say we're having a great time. Houston, by the way, 4 games over .500, and they're right behind Seattle now. I could totally see Seattle collapsing here once more and blowing that division again. So it looks like Houston will be... I bet Houston will win the division, and everyone's going to be pissed about it, but, you know.
What can I hope I say? That doesn't happen.
I don't want it to happen either, but, I mean, Seattle keeps... Seattle and Toronto are... They're just perennial disappointments, it seems. Obviously, Toronto much more of a disappointment this year. But I hear they're trying to re-up for 2025, though. They want to gear up and try to make a run next year again. Maybe sell off a couple tiny parts.
Well, that's the problem, right? When you don't make a real move, you make a bunch of little ones, and then all of a sudden you realize that you've just eroded your minor league system, which is where Toronto was 2 years ago. And then all they did, because that was the Matt Chapman trade. They were eroding the guys they were drafting. You know, Simeon Woods Richardson and Austin Martin.
SWR.
For Berríos, right? Berríos is okay, but he had a horrible year last year. So it hasn't all been, you know, candy canes and lollipops. You make good choices, you make bad, just like we do in fantasy. But now we're
I'd rather have
smarter.
A Snickers bar than both those candies.
I prefer Coffee Crisp.
Coffee Crisp is great. That's a Canadian treat. I definitely tried that when I moved to Windsor for a minute. That was, I love, like, well, this is delicious. What is this? Why didn't you tell me about this, Leanne?
Whoever the guy was that commented about knowing Derek from Vice Grip Garage, not knowing him, but like watching Vice Grip Garage, I met him and I gave him Coffee Crisp, amongst other things. Canadian craft dinner, Smarties, Swiss Chalet sauce.
Ooh, yeah.
I gave him everything but a six-pack of Molson Canadian. I forgot about that. But
I've been to Canadian Walmart.
Canadian Walmart.
Yeah.
It's just like America, but it costs more.
It is. It's actually cheaper. It really is cheap.
Is it really?
It wasn't bad.
73
There's some decent deals.
On the dollar? Okay.
38 cents, but yes. It's not bad. Like anyway, no one cares about this.
Yeah, the Canadian dollar is worth 73 cents in America. I was there, I know.
Oh, right. Yeah, you just lived that. But we had a great time. I feel like we could have talked more. We'll talk more about that game and our experience next time.
You know, go move to Canada.
We had some delays here that started the show. Thanks for sticking with us. Thanks for always being dedicated. The live chatters, Chad, Joe, Sheriff himself of the chat, Eddie, my man. Everybody was here. Thanks so much. By the way, I haven't seen Donovan Miller in forever. Where the hell are you? I'm calling you out right now. Are you alive? Has something happened to you? I need to know. I miss you. I hope you're doing okay. For Robbie Baseball, I'm MJ Govier. Michael Govier, thanks for being here. And Ben, enjoy the rest of your trip. We'll see you guys next Monday. Don't forget, Tuesday night, which is tomorrow from the live stream of this moment, we're going to be on the Triple Play YouTube. We're doing a monthly, every month, Triple Play Palazzo Showdown. But this time we're going to be on the Triple Play YouTube channel. Me, Virginia, and Britton, I believe, will be on that side representing our Palazzo peeps. So make sure you subscribe to the Triple Play YouTube, Play Fantasy Sports YouTube. And see us there Tuesday night, probably 8 o'clock-ish, okay?
Cool, man.
Eat my shorts.
All right. See y'all later.
Prospects is a curious thing. Make a person trade everything for a king. Wyatt Langford is your one true love. For a prospect, you'll trade all the above. Don't need money, don't take fame. Don't need no credit card to ride on this train. It's strong and it's sudden, and it's cruel sometimes, but it might just save your life. That's the power of prospects. That's the power of prospects.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.